Welcome,
Matt Howey.
Welcome,
Jessamine.
Welcome to the Metafilter Podcast.
This is a podcast episode 54.
Our last podcast was sometime in the end of July. We've got a whole month of website stuff to talk about.
Yep.
Hey, you know, we
go.
IRL? IRL is probably the first thing?
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, it's working out. We launched an events website called IRL in real life. IRL.metafilter.com. I have heard that it's slightly confusing in the nav to have IRL because that's not really descriptive. But I don't know if the word events would help. But it's actually working out exactly as I envisioned. It's pretty cool. It's I don't know. We should probably try and come up with our favorite events happening in the next month for each podcast, just like the other subsites. But
it's not a bad idea.
There are meetups galore, performances, people are on tour, people are doing.
And you were just talking about your own dog food.
Yeah, and I have some goofy art show that I'll probably go to. And
I had a very successful beach meetup in the last month using IRL. It worked out really well.
I believe that's called a beach up.
No, it isn't.
Oh, okay.
You were incorrect.
No.
Lake Washington. Oh, I just missed that. I was in Seattle.
What?
Wow.
They had a meetup on a lake in a boat.
Nice.
Oh, you know, they do the Lake Washington meetups occasionally. Y2Carl has always had like the kayak canoe rental meetups that are summertime, and they're usually pretty fun. I don't think I've ever been to one, but I've canoed on Lake Washington before, and it is great.
I was up there, but I wasn't quite that far north in Seattle, so I couldn't even wave at them. Everything is a lake there. I always think of it as the ocean, but it's not.
Well, there's the bay and the lake and the other lake, basically.
Is so the bay considered the ocean, or do they always, like, you know, Bainbridge Island, all that? Is that on the ocean, or is that on the sound?
No, it's the sound.
Yeah.
I mean, on the other sides of the islands is basically where the ocean is, but there's the whole sort of peninsula between the Seattle area and the ocean area.
So IRL is working out with like a billion things in New York as we thought it would play out.
Yeah, and there's nothing in Portland so far. I mean, there have been like a couple of meetings went by, but there's been no like action in Portland. I feel like I need to finally start another band just so I can like play a show and put it up there.
There was a band show and two meetups, so that worked.
I didn't mean literally nothing. No, I'm excited.
Oh, you only meant sort of nothing as opposed to the actual nothing that we have here
in Vermont? By comparison to the just recently mentioned NYC. Well, yeah, but it's Vermont. No one's expecting anything. So.
Oh, and if you don't live in like New York City, you can follow like the RSS feed for an entire state. It's probably your best bet to find things that are within a few hundred miles or something.
Oh, I saw that. PB's been it's a work in process, and PB has been tinkering with
it. A lot of people are wondering about Discovery. I don't want to miss anything this nearby, but I'm willing to drive 3 hours. So it's like, well, follow the state. Follow the three states around you if you're in the middle of nowhere, or follow your entire country if you're not in America, since most of them are in America. But like, there's feeds for everything. So it's kind of cool. Like if you're in Oakland and you don't want to miss San Francisco things, you could just follow California and ignore the LA stuff, you know.
Well, and I think it's great, too, because, you know, people can get as much as they want on their RSS, but the site itself, you can still at a glance kind of eyeball it and figure out what you want at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, we do have, if you've stored your location, upcoming events within 100 miles of you showing up.
And that's the thing PB was adjustmicating, right?
Because
like me, 100 miles is like, not that far.
Yeah, we were going to make it 200, but we were trying to attach that to your people near you on the user profile page. So there's just one like proximity adjuster.
Yeah.
Right.
But then if we grabbed a Manhattan person at 100 miles, they had 800 people near them, including people like in Albany and stuff that like they don't even care about.
They might care about people in Albany.
No, they don't, clearly.
Haters gotta hate.
Exactly. Okay. IRL is done, launched, go. It's fun.
It's great.
And people seem to mostly like it. And if you've got a gig or a thing that you're going to be at, or you want to meet other Mefites, go to IRL and try it out. Let us know what you think. There's some ongoing discussion in MetaTalk.
And we fully incorporated it into MetaTalk. So all the proposed meetups,
are on the sidebar.
Yeah.
And the picture thing works now, too. So if you take pictures at the meetup, they show up on the MetaTalk sidebar.
Yep.
So great. You guys did a great job on that.
Seriously.
Works good. And it sort of works in iCal and GCal. There's all, there a whole bunch of little bugs we had to fix. I think those work. So you can add.
Did the time stuff get all
sorted? We make you select your time zone, I think, when you do.
Oh, that's right.
So we don't have to figure out on the fly where you're located and what crazy 400 time zones you're in. You just tell us. You have to select from a drop-down of 400 different crazy time zones.
But only once.
Yeah, and then
we... Or if, like me, whenever you go somewhere.
Yeah, because the day we launched it, people are like, oh, that Saturday meetup shows up as like Sunday night or Friday morning because I'm...
Or like it already happened or whatever.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and they're like, oh, sorry, stupid time zone bug. And actually, Google was ignoring a specification. They weren't supposed to do that. So it wasn't our problem, but we fixed it.
Well, it wasn't your fault.
Fault, that's what I meant.
But it was your responsibility.
That's our problem. Yes.
Yes.
Why don't we try like jobs and projects?
Jobs is, you know, kind of plugging along like Jobs is always plugging along.
Oh, right. Should I announce new job stuff? I should just announce new job stuff.
Just mention that it's something we're slow motion working on.
Probably in the next
week. And by we, I mean you guys.
In the next week or two, we'll probably be adding, like, I don't know what we're going to call it yet, talent?
See, you always put those time things on it. Can't you just say, like, soon?
If I don't say 2 weeks, I'll have no reason to finish it in 2 weeks. So it'll take 3 weeks or 4 weeks when it should be.
I was thinking more like 6 months to a year.
Exactly. That's something. So we're going to allow you to list your availability in a categorized way. And you could specifically say what kind of jobs you're looking for. And we'll do our best to match up people looking for work with the current jobs. By displaying them next to it, and
and little indicator on your profile page somehow.
Yeah, and we'll have to do a search too. So if I'm looking for like a Flash developer, you know, I should be able to search the word Flash and figure out all the jobs, you know, available with the word Flash in it, and all the creative experts that are available for work. So yeah, that's coming real soon now. My favorite job of the month was the weird.
Same as mine.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's unanimous.
I mean, you know, I mean, Jobs has been around for several years, and it's only when something rises above the background noise of like, you know, here's a web job, here's a web job, here's a staff job. But here's, I want to be Tron guy. I want to be Kif from Futurama.
Who is Kif from? Well,
he's
why don't
green
I just show
a second
it.
To Starship Captain Zap Brannigan.
Yep,
he goes.
Oh, I never knew his name before. Okay. Yep.
Is that his entire line?
Pretty much, yeah. And Zap will be like,
"Of course,"
Kif! And he'll be like, and then that's.
Yeah.
So, does anybody else just when they see GTA think Grand Theft Auto exclusively?
I always
pretty
do.
Much, yeah.
Okay.
And I had to go, "Oh, Greater Toronto Area." I think that's it.
Toronto.
What?
That people don't say the second T.
Toronto.
Toronto. Toronto.
Maybe he wants to be the Toronto guy.
projects.
Projects.
I liked Jaunty Jago or Jaunty. I think we've talked about how we don't know how to
pronounce it. Is this singing while driving?
Yes.
Yes.
That's not. I just pasted it wrong. But yes, singing while driving. It's such a perfect, stupid little, like, hyper-focused blog. A blog devoted to scenes of singing in the car. And I liked the Ask Metafilter about it. It was, like, one of those questions where, you know, people were like, oh, well, here's a bit of pop culture for you. And he sort of rounded that up and used that as a starting point to create a blog that's nothing but clips of people singing while driving in movies and TV shows. And it's just kind of fantastic.
Oh my God, three or four of these are my favorites. I could watch this Help the Police, Mos Def freestyling on the old.
I remember that one.
Hot Tub Time Machine car scene, best part of the entire movie.
I've totally forgotten that.
This is great. I approve this. I must have done this on my cell phone and I didn't get to like try and try out the links.
I also liked this post from Jay Harris, which is a sentence I probably say a lot, but but he did a sort of epic write up for Gamma Sutra, because he writes, you know, he writes about video game stuff a lot. And he wrote up an epic sort of write-up about non-video game games in terms of what kind of how that's relevant in a computer game concept, which is...
Is this where you work in diplomacy?
I don't know. I don't remember if he mentions it. I think diplomacy somehow was a horrific oversight in this case. But, you know, it's a fun collection of stuff. And some of it's very mainstream, and some of it's more recent sort of German-style board games. But it's good stuff.
And,
I mean, it's,
and Jay Harris is a great writer generally.
Yeah, so you really can't go wrong. And this is kind of an epic pile of writing. So he made a projects post, and I think he was right to do so.
Did you guys see the I'm Voting Tea Party parody shirts?
Yeah, didn't. Was that the person who asked about the Tea Party parody shirts in Ask Metafilter?
I don't know.
Because somebody was asking for good slogans, and other people were like, dude, they're already a parody of themselves. I don't know.
The other thing was, let me see, I'm going through his recent questions. I don't see it. Oh, there it is. You're right. Holy crap.
How?
Wow, from Ask Metafilter to your chest. That's Metafilter. I would never wear, this is one of those things that are so funny, but I would never go out in public with saying things that like, blah, 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 Hitler on my shirt. Like, come on. But
you're sort of asking for trouble, yes.
The first one's funny-ish and ironic and not, nobody would take you seriously. Obama won't teach my kids that the earth is flat. That's why I'm voting Tea Party. That's pretty non-scary.
Not nuking Canada. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of pointless.
But yeah, they do look good, and it's a neat idea.
Yeah, I just would not want to be cornered with an actual Tea Party follower while wearing it.
Yeah,
agreed.
It'd be a weird situation.
Oh, I guess Put This On came out. That was great. The new Put This On episode is really good, about getting dressed for work.
Yeah, I was sort of wondering about that. Does this podcast come out rarely enough that
Rare.
Saying finished an episode is...
Yeah, it's like 3 to 4 months of work before they put one out. They're supposed to do 6, and so this is on number 3.
All right.
And it's pretty good.
Speaking of getting dressed, I enjoyed the No Baggage Challenge, which is basically Justin Glow is the camera guy traveling with Rolf Potts around the world in 6 weeks, and he's doing it with no baggage.
And so
he's
this
just
is
stuffing extra clothes into his pants pockets, and I don't even know the rest of it.
This is like the most professional looking like project site in eons. Is this like on the BBC or something, or is this really just like a little website doing this?
Like
Boots and All is a sponsor, which is kind of like a travel website or
Justin
something.
Justin designed the website.
Yeah. But it looks like, well, I mean, you could just tell by looking at it, it looks well funded, right? Like it looks like a thing, like a real.
Yeah, Boots and All is funding it, and he explained it. There's somebody else chipping in. If you go to the About page, it explains it a little bit more.
So what do they mean by no bag? Like, do you get a backpack with, or do you just wear one?
No, you get nothing. He gets what he can carry in his pants.
Oh, I see. It's sponsored by some travel clothing, so.
Right. Oh. They make like a travel vest or something.
Oh, that's that company that makes that crazy stuff. They have like a jacket with like 75 hidden pockets.
Yeah. And all these like hidden pants and stuff like that.
Tactical pants, they're called.
Yeah. And basically he's wearing a bunch of stuff. It's all stuff that you can wash. And, you know, it's funny, though, like of all the things that he's bringing and keeping in his pockets, like he's packing like deodorant and like laundry soap. Oh. Like he's packing a bunch of stuff that I think I would probably just like buy on the road or whatever. But who knows? Who knows?
Dude.
Camera.
Yeah.
Passport.
The photo of like what's in his pants is like, you're like, no way is that possible.
Put that link there.
Yeah, like, what? That's not possible. But, yeah, those pants have all sorts of hidden things. It must be a pain in the butt to go through security, but... that's pretty fun.
Yeah, but I like the idea. The website looks amazing, and it looks like it's going to be, like, a fun project for Justin. So awesome.
What do you wear while doing laundry if you can't have a second pair of clothes?
I think you just wear your boxer shorts and then you wash your boxer shorts in the sun. I mean, because what you do is you wash all your stuff in the sink the night before at the hotel and hang it out to dry.
Oh, that's right. It's all like nylon-y. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
My other project that I really liked, just because I've been following this project and mentioning it every time it comes up, is Mr. Moon Pie's wife, Evil Tiff.
Yeah.
Has been also doing gay and straight marriages in DC and got the completely terrific URL marriagedc.com and has now just set up her own small blog about what she does. And it's a great website and they're doing good works and I was just psyched for her. And I think Ask Metafilter helped her find that name or set up the blogger. I don't remember exactly what the thing was, but
I think in the very beginning it was like, how can I help when this marriage law goes down, like a year or two ago, and then people told them where to meet and marry people, and then it happened, right?
Yeah.
And they published
this
whole...
Mrs. Moon Pie wants to gay marry you too, but she needs a website first. That was the Ask Metafilter question.
Oh, I was thinking of something from like 2 years ago when this is first like...
Well, that may have been Mr. Moon Pie's getting started and now they're sort of both on it. But it's nice. I mean, it's an awesome thing they're doing. It's a great way to make a little money and it seems that everybody's kind of cheery about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Good on them.
Celebrating love and...
happy people in love.
What would you call that? Freedom of marriage. Marriage freedom.
Marriage equality.
Marriage equality. I like freedom. Sounds more Ron Paul-y.
Nothing freeing about marriage, as you know.
Thank my wife, please.
I'm going to be predictable and point out something I did because it was a weird thing and I enjoyed it. Well, it's been a crazy music month and so I did a
We were already
going to
talk about you later.
Well, I'll be brief. Bingo, I just thought this was... Anyway, I wrote a little bit of code that uses the Echo Nest library that I've been playing with for the last couple months. And what does is it's Echo Nest. They're a company that does a bunch of crazy music sort of processing.
What's that noise the little alien makes?
Anyway, I've been using some code they wrote, and I wrote a little bit of my own code. So you take a song and you throw it through this code, and it tries to make it monotone. It tries to basically keep it all in the same key.
Doesn't that just mean it's a beep?
No. I mean, it's more complicated than that. It has sort of weird, surprising results. But I kind of liked what came out of it, so I made a little project post about it. But it kind of makes music boring. But in
is that the thing
an interesting
you've been doing
way.
All the cut-ups with all the
yeah it's the same thing I use for the Nine Inch Nails stuff but do
can you slow down a Bieber song with it
you could in theory although it's not as good of a tool as the other stuff which we'll talk about later I'm sure anyway I just thought it makes for some amusing weirdness of familiar music so I thought I would
you and Not On Display should get together and share your weird music that doesn't really sound like music to anybody except music geeks music.
And Idiopath, and there's a couple other people on music who would be a good part of that cabal.
You should have a non-concert.
Well, it's funny because I'm not usually into this stuff so much. I mean, like the closest I've come
think
to this
of
sort
you
of
is,
is more like, like I like mashup stuff. I like Girl Talk, but I don't usually do a whole lot of music destruction stuff. But, lately, I've been having a good time playing with this stuff. It's just made it really easy to sort of dig into it, I think, is what's kind of cool about the Echo Nest remix stuff. Anyway, that's all.
Wow, I just got invited to the Kiwanis Club.
Kiwanis.
Oh, is that what it is? You never tell if those things are part of like an RV club.
You're like one of those people who's like all reading and no talking. Kiwanis.
Yeah, I'm all reading. I've never had to tell someone else about, like a goofy club because I was in that newspaper. It's like the local town. Was it again? Kiwanis. There's like elk lodges and what's those weird guys with the secret society thing? Masons, like in Kiwanis.
Oddfellows.
Yeah, I don't know the difference between all those groups, but some old guy's asking me to join their secret businessmen club.
They're cool. I mean, they get a lot of stuff done. It just sort of depends what you're into. Some of them are more or less religious. Some of them are more or less Republican. Some of them are more or less whatever. They're neat, though. Service organizations, generally speaking.
Oh, service. I don't like the sound of that. I do something. Help people. Screw that.
Let's see. They cooperate in creating and maintaining that sound public opinion and high idealism, which make possible the increase of righteousness, justice, patriotism,
Jude,
and goodwill.
I hate
Come on, you like justice.
I hate patriotism.
As a Metafilter moderator, there's nothing that I could want more of in the world than extra righteousness.
And great justice.
Great justice. With great justice comes great moderation.
Move every zig. I was in the game store the other day and buying a board game, and the board game started to fall off the counter because the guy had set it down in the wrong spot on a slant. And I was like, oh my God, it's getting away. And he's like, run away, run away. And it was like, I'm standing in a hobby store and a guy just made a Monty Python joke. It was a perfect moment. That's all. End of story.
And then the conversation turned to, man, remember when you had sex 8 years ago? That's awesome. Sorry.
Josh is like, no, sorry, dude, I'm married.
A marriage joke? Come on.
Hoyo! Yeah.
Josh likes being married.
I do. I enjoy being married very much. I occasionally yell at people about stupid marriage jokes just because it gets tiring.
Mm. I've seen him do it.
I have not. We'll be back right after this break.
One more day and I will abandon all hope for landfall. 900 days at
sea. We're back with Metafilter. Oh, Josh, did you have anything to say about music? We haven't talked about music at all.
There was a bunch of music posts that I liked. I've been trying to get more caught
up. And now, Josh's Music Corner.
Okay, well, but... Okay, Music Corner number one.
Or challenges? Anything fun with the challenge?
I'll try and get caught up on that.
That's a loaded question, Matt.
Yeah, a post from Eyeball Kid.
Hey!
Flash from the past, and the only two people who've commented it so far are me and Jessamine, who
make
were both
songs?
Just sort of.
Oh, he makes songs.
Well, this was it was a cut up of some audio of Dave Weiner back in 2004 talking about shutting down weblogs.
Yeah.
Anyway, he took the audio from that and used that to create an entry in a contest that Waxy threw. Basically, this is from 2004, and it's Dave Weiner set against music and cut up, and it's really just kind of amusing. So that's thing number one. Thing number two, Ian K has been posting some nice stuff to music. He just posted something called Landfall like a week and a half ago or something like that I really liked, and it's like one of like three sort of in the same general feel. It's just really pretty, really really lo-fi, simple voice and guitar recordings with a sort of charming simplicity to them. So I really liked that. I thought it was a very pretty song. And Peter Kins has been posting a bunch of great shit. And one of the things he posted was this thing called In the Orchard, which was him fucking around with a couple of, fucking around with a double bass, I think. But there's some crazy textural stuff and big, deep bass sounds. And it's just really, really kind of neat.
That's
sort
great.
Of abstract thing.
That reminds me of Java Island stuff with the bells.
Tube and throat singing?
No.
Gamelan.
Yes, I love that stuff. which is like just low tones. It's so good.
There's also this song from Dacre. I have no idea how their username is spelled. But anyway, it's a cover of
Dacre.
Listen to Your Heart by Roxette, but done in a total genre shift, and I thought it was amusing as hell. So,
Roxette? I haven't even heard that word in 20 years.
What, Roxette?
Yeah, I forgot she existed. That was real.
Wasn't Roxette a band?
What? Sorry, music was rocking over you.
Oh, I just thought Roxette was a band, not a lady.
Oh. Wasn't there like a chick with hair up in the...
And there's the other dude in the band.
Oh, okay. That's like Paula Abdul era stuff.
She's a lady, not a
yes.
band.
I remember Roxette. What was their big dumb song?
You've Got the Look?
Yes. Oh, God, I hate that thing.
It was classic, though. On the music talk front, there was a nice little thread that Major Dundee started the other day, sort of saying, hey, what sort of stuff, what sort of mementos and icons and talismans do you sort of keep around with you in your music making space or with your instrument, you know. And I basically couldn't come up with anything except for like there's a bunch of shit on one of my guitars, but people just talking about different sort of mementos and stuff. And yeah,
oh my god, cool man versus son's rejection from the Yale Music School hangs on his wall. I love it.
I didn't know what the word talisman meant until you just said that.
Really?
Have you ever heard it spoken out loud?
No.
It's obviously. Like, you know, the Talismanian devil.
Okay, now you're just fucking with me. Yes.
Baby, am I?
A rejection letter from Yale School of Music. That's awesome. Dude, it's framed.
I think he should get closure on that by sending them a rejection album.
Yes.
You know, my dad has the rejection letter that he got from Digital Equipment Corporation in the 1970s when they said, no, thank you, you don't have enough computer experience to come work for us.
Oh, my God. Doesn't that play right into that book? The famous?
Yes. And then he became briefly famous several years later.
Wow.
So he keeps that letter around.
Dude, that should be on, like, take a photo of that for Flickr, like your DFW thing.
Oh, that's a good idea. I should do that.
It's a relic that should be digitized.
And preserved.
Yes.
So that a whole bunch of nerds can talk about it on a blog and make fun of me. That's what happened with the DFW letter.
What? They made fun? What? What are you talking
People
about?
People were like, so what? She's just, you know, this is a letter saying she's average. I'm like, that's
yeah,
okay.
No, that was weird. That was, yeah. That's like one of the things where it's awesome to have that, but I'm not sure I'd ever want that to be something for public discussion because it's too good. It's going to be too many people like taking some specific DFW thing or some celebrity or anti-celebrity thing and just throwing it at this thing, and it's like, ugh, it's like newspaper comments.
That was at some other site. That was at some other site, you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like everyone on Flickr loved it and favorited the hell out of it.
People on Flickr did like it, and that was totally fun. And then somebody, you know, linked it, hot linked it without asking, and then I told them to take it down, and then they did, but then they asked if they could put it up, and I said yes, and by then people were like, rawr, and you know, just internet jerks.
People are so like rar. What is it?
Rar. And then they were like rar rar, and I was like rah, 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 and it just
Yeah. But that's neat. I thought it was neat when I saw it. So
that's cool.
I just want you to know it's neat.
Thanks, Josh.
A refusal letter from Digital is hilarious. And
I thought it was pretty funny. I'll have to go dig it up somewhere. I think it's like at my mom's house, so that may be tricky.
All right, we done with music?
Yeah, I think so.
Thanks for your report.
You're welcome. Do, 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 boop, boop.
Can we come back after a break? I really do need to take a break.
Yes.
Hi-oh.
All right, I'll be back in a minute. Best of Metafilter?
Sure.
All right.
Metafilter was great. Metafilter's been kind of great, despite being somewhat bumpy. It's generally sort of been great.
It was the best of months. It was the worst of months.
I saw other blogs going, why is August so crazy? Like, I think it's just August.
People are on vacation.
Off. Yeah.
Some people are on
the weather's
furlough.
Terrible.
Some people aren't on vacation, pissed off about it, I would guess.
Back to school, so parents are going a little crazy. People have guests. They have house guests because people are on vacation.
Oh, God. Yeah.
You know, happens. Hey, that was going to be my...
What? The best magazines ever?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I hate almost every list, you know,
yeah.
top blank ever, except for basically this one.
Well, because Kevin Kelly doing it on one thing, and it's actually really good, and the other thing
is... And it's all on one fucking page! One page!
And the best thing to do is to, if you like to read stuff on your iPhone or iPad, I like to read on my iPhone when I'm bored, load up Instapaper, the little caching app that strips all junk out and just grabs the text, and basically pull up this best magazine ever, and I added like 15 long-form articles to it, And then on, like a week later, I was sitting in a JetBlue terminal for like whatever, in an airplane terminal for like 2 hours or 3 hours early. Some car taxi dropped me off way early. And I basically read like 10 or 15 of the best articles. And I felt so like knowledgeable and happy. And
well, and because one of the things that makes them the best articles is that they're a little timeless. They're not just like the latest wrinkle in the most recent bullshit. They're, you know, kind of
amazing story from 1992 that's still amazing.
Yeah, I mean, this Neil Stephenson article from 96 about transoceanic fiber optic cable, I remember reading that when it came out. It was amazing. I probably like reading it again. John Krakauer's Christopher McCandless article that turned into the book that became the Into the Wild movie. I mean, it's really – and Kevin Kelly's just got good taste, and this was just great. Really, really great. And there's some good discussion in the thread with people being like, here's some other stuff and blah, 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 blah.
It's one of those things that I see as like a good potential resource for me, but it's, I don't have as much of that nostalgia because my magazine reading historically was pretty much Nintendo Power, Amiga World, and then, you know, the sidebar columns in Harper's. I was not much of a periodical consumer.
Some of this was in Harper's.
Well, yeah, and that one seems like it might show. Probably not a whole lot reprinted from Amiga World.
Some of these are cool in that I was just scanning the list and going, like, Michael Pollan, I didn't know he wrote about blank like 8 years ago. I'll read that.
Sure, sure.
So fine writers you already like doing stuff you never even thought about. So
well, and especially, you know, people who have written books you like may have gotten their start writing longer essay type pieces for whatever. And sometimes the essays, dare I say it, are better. Like a Malcolm Gladwell essay in The New Yorker is so much head and shoulders better than like any of his books.
Yeah,
because it's like the one idea and the best supporting, you know, stuff around it, not this like and another thing and, you know, it doesn't have that filler aspect to it.
Yeah. Yep. Sweet.
Sweet.
It's like every sci-fi movie based on a very short story is, I always find the very short stories are so much better than the movie. Like some sci-fi movies, you know, can be broken down into like little couple thousand word essays and they're just so
well and sci-fi bad. A lot of times it's like sort of horror where it benefits from the unknown aspect of it that you make up in your own head, and so the less detail sometimes the better, rather than he has a spacesuit, it looks like this is what the airlock looks like, oh look at the alien, it's frightening but not as frightening as it was in my mind kind of thing.
Oh my god, why did I'm looking through my favorites and
Josh, you want to talk about this epic coaster?
Sure. It won't take very long. It's a fun little flash game where you are playing a roller coaster, making jumps. And it's, as is referenced frequently in the thread, it's very reminiscent of the game Cannibalt, which
I've never heard of.
Yeah, but you might have seen it. You should just click through real quick. And
I am, right. I am.
Because, yeah, it's
oh,
just...
Oh, right. I got totally stuck playing that for, like, 45 minutes last 2 weeks ago.
So Epic Coaster, I'd like to think Epic Coaster is sort of like the Nintendo version. You know, it's a little bit prettier and friendlier and not really quite so hard. But it's the same general mechanic, and it's got the same sort of suck-you-in sort of feeling to it. I found it a little bit underwhelming because I played the shit out of Cannibalt and got pretty good at some of the last-minute dodging stuff that you need to do in that. And it doesn't come up so much in Coaster, so you kind of feel like you're always waiting for the challenging part to happen, and it never quite does. But for people who found Cannibalt just absolutely fucking frustrating, Epic Coaster might be like perfect. So anyway, I liked it. That was that was my only like pop out thread, favorite thread on the blue. Well, aside from the ridiculous Stephen Slater stuff, but like that's
which we'll get to in a moment.
But yeah, that's all I got. That's all I got for the blue this month.
I enjoyed the video about wanting to sleep with Ray Bradbury because it had a lot of good book allegories, and because it was one of those things which was sexy while at the same time not having a bunch of crazy pylon herf-derfery in the thread. It was just people were like, yeah, I'm really into Ray Bradbury. Yeah, that girl's pretty and she's singing a song about having sex with him. Awesome. And it just, I don't know, it dodged all the potential pitfalls and became a fun thread about a fun video.
I thought it was hilarious. I saw that the other day.
Oh, and you guys may not have seen this yet. You know, the Chilean miners, yada, yada, yada.
Oh, yeah. The miners.
So the Chilean miners, it's horrifying. They're stuck underground. They're going to be stuck underground for, you know, 40 days or something like that. How and there's some discussion about it. But what you may not have known is that Metafilter user
Twirly Pen.
I get Twirly Pen and Twirlip confused. Actually works in an underground gold mine as a member of a mine rescue team, and so has been showing up in the thread with good information about mine rescues that really is fascinating. I mean, he's only made a couple, I think he's a he, a couple comments, but they're really interesting, and I sidebarred one of them, and it got a million zillion favorites. And
oh, yeah, it says he's a geology student, and he is a he.
Yeah.
So it's actually, I was like, what are the chances? Come on.
Totally. But I thought that was great, and everybody should read it, and the mine, I mean, I get like the fidgets just even thinking about that kind of stuff. But one of the things Twirly Pen keeps saying over and over again is he's like, these people do this for a job. Being stuck in a dark enclosed space isn't the issue for them. You know, yeah. Like you'd be thinking, oh, I'm stuck in a box. But that's not their issue. They have other issues, but that's not one of them.
What would that be like? Stuck in your home office would still suck for a month, for 4 months. I'm wigged out by mine.
4 months with 20 other dudes.
I know.
That's the worst part.
Somehow there's a hole that they can get food and water from or something. I mean,
yeah, there's a hole small enough for like food, water, medicine. A couple of the guys have medical conditions. And there's a rescue chamber, which is a thing that has like light and air conditioning and whatever that you can hang out in. And then there's just these big open spaces, but they have to basically dig a tunnel that's 27 inches in diameter, and then they send down one of the little elevators, and then you have to get pulled up one at a time.
Have you ever seen Morgan Spurlock's 30 Days on Mining, where he was a miner in Virginia for like a month?
I find Morgan Spurlock's tourism kind of weird.
Yeah, it's a little – his show's a little weird, but it was one of the – you know, he had this show on for two or three seasons, and he would do one of the episodes like, you know, the whole Super Size Me.
Sure.
But the mining one's just rough. Like, I mean, I knew it was bad, but oh my – the whole like 45 minutes going down a tube like with rocks right by your face, and you're just sitting there and you're not speaking and you're just going at like 1 mile an hour down into the hole,
and it's wet. Don't forget that it's wet. Yeah. Also,
and how like black you come out, and then he goes out and gets like a black lung test with everyone, and it's like a badge of courage for some of those dudes to be like, yeah, I've had black lung for years and I'll be okay, I'm okay. And it's weird. It's just horrible. And then you think of like what they did to the workers, the whole company towns, and basically it was slavery.
I wouldn't pass tense any of that. Like that stuff still goes on.
Oh yeah, it's true. Yeah, I mean, yeah, these people are not making tons of money mining. It's just like something.
They're just not getting quite as murdered as they were before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in other countries, I would assume it's worse, though, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know strictly.
Oh, this is in the what? South America somewhere?
Right? Chile.
Chile. All right. Cool.
So, Steven Snyder, very interesting.
That whole goddamn mess.
We had
I haven't even
post.
Seen any interesting updates in the last few days either. Like I
haven't either.
I think it just
very...
sort of like with a whimper is how it went. But that's getting ahead
thread,
of things, I guess.
And there were the lyrics, and then there was the song. And Josh, I think I saw you on the news.
You may have if you were watching CNN that evening.
Colchef called me on the phone to tell me to go turn on the television. So I logged on to my dad's Slingbox just in time to hear you singing on Wolf
the Situation
Blitzer's
Room.
Situation.
Yeah.
Well, to hear them playing your recording.
Yeah.
And there's a screenshot of the ridiculous music.metafilter/astrozombie. I don't know where they got that, but I made it a redirect. After they put that on TV.
Yeah, it's like they just made up a URL. Well, I guess if you put these words together, it'll go to the internet. Which is, I was...
Tubes!
I was stunned by that. So, yeah.
Nice job. Nice job, Astro Zombie. Nice job, Cortex. Nice job. The whole thread was actually pretty interesting to me.
Yeah, it was a really... I mean, aside from the music stuff, it was one of those sort of weird developing things. And, you know, it's... I still feel so weird about the fact that, like, we deleted the first post about it.
By we, you mean you.
I deleted the first post about it because it was like, it was just like a total random post, and it was and it was you know, it was not really framed very well, and it was like not established that this was even a thing that was even going to be talked about. And then that led to a whole bunch of drama with that
user
and a timeout and email and yeah, so it,
anger.
And that's what's happening in the background, along with it becoming this web meme that won't go away, and all the other stuff that came out of it. So it was like a really weird sort of dual thing. But yeah,
I piped up enough, but I was like, no, this is a real amazing thing. Like, this is a crazy once in 5 years kind of story.
I still think it was fundamentally News of the Weird. It's News of the Weird that got played just right, and the media just decided, okay, we got nothing else and we can run with this. And
but there's something... It wasn't just News of the Weird. It was News of the Weird that was kind of awesome. Like, I think of News of the Weird just being like, you know, some super pop.
Person returns library book 100 years later.
Yeah, paraplegic woman, like, runs from cops.
What about, remember, like, Lorena Bobbitt, you know, like, you don't identify with anybody in that story, but, like, dude so pissed off at work that he grabs beer, deploys the slide, goes home. Like, it's so awesome.
Has sex with boyfriend.
Yeah.
He's caught in the act.
That's
and there's
so,
been
there's the weird fuckyeah.tumblr.com.
There's been like 22 songs now. I actually found another one the other day that went up after a lot. Yeah, there's.
I was gonna say, you go to YouTube, and for some reason, just the words together, "Ballad of Stephen Slater" is a. There's a billion versions now.
Yeah, no,
which is great.
There's like eight or nine different.
The same thing. They always call it "Ballad of Stephen Slater."
Not all of them. There's like seven or eight that people use that name, and then there's like another dozen and a half that aren't. I like the retired flight attendant named Judy who does her rap. That one's pretty sweet. It's very. My name is Judy, and I'm here to say.
Oh no!
But it's adorable. I don't know. It's just
Josh,
adorable.
You're just going robot.
Am I?
What?
Okay.
Sound fine to me.
It's definitely very sort of situational. I can unplug and plug back in.
You sound okay now.
Weird. Okay.
It could be me.
I think it's something. I don't know what the deal is. It's definitely weird. I wish it didn't happen, but it doesn't end up on the tape, so it's okay. But yeah, so that all happened. That was crazy. Huh? Yeah, yeah. This is actual folk music. You know, it's.
I liked your music video featuring your camera that does not shoot video.
Well, it was easy to do it that way because that way I didn't stop motion, you know, without any complicated. I could do it a lot faster. I mean, I spent the day doing it.
Plus, the lip syncing is spot on.
Yeah, that was an idea that failed. But I didn't have anything else to do. I should have found something else to put there. I was thinking about doing a stop motion on a toilet paper roll, like write a line, roll it a little bit, write a line, roll it a little bit. But that might have been better than me doing terrible lip syncing.
It's funny seeing you doing terrible lip syncing, though, because I'm used to you just singing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what's that thing happening where Josh moves his mouth, but the what?
Oh, and the other crazy music post from this month was the Justin Bieber thing that turned into a huge meme for a couple days.
As well as another flam out.
So yeah. In the end, was this someone was telling me this was fake? That it wasn't actually that song, and then other people are like, "Oh, I analyzed the waveforms, and it's actually is the song, but like sped up 800 times, it doesn't sound apparently like the original."
Yeah, no, it's when you change the slowing down, especially is interesting because it really takes out the sense of, you know, a lot of how we process music is temporal, and there's a lot of short term memory involved in listening to the changes. From chord to chord and following a melody. So when you slow that down so much, like 1/8 of the original speed, a lot of our ability to sort of track what's going on goes away, even with familiar music. I mean, I made a stupid little music quiz thing on my blog that day because I thought it was interesting throwing like really, really famous music into it. And it's hard. It's hard to even figure out. You have to notice some little thing that you somehow recognize. Oh, if that was going 8 times as fast, it'd be this. So it has a really sort of fascinating effect. And yeah, the software they used to put it through to do that to the Bieber thing and that everybody started using over the next couple of days as well is this stuff called Paul Stretch that just does this sort of clever, specific sort of audio processing to slow it down without it turning into just horrible robot chunks. So it does a bunch of sort of smoothing. So you get these really sort of slow onset and fade out things on sounds, and they transition from one to another really smoothly. So yeah, I made a Music Talk post actually like that day, so we could just sort of talk about ideas and play with it more over on music.
Because if you straight up slow it down, it just turns into like robots.
Well, yeah, yeah. If you literally just straight up slow it
down,
right?
It's all it's all like Sisters of Mercy.
Yeah.
So you have to slow it. You have to smooth it so it's like wah, like so it's harmonic or something.
Yeah. So a piano sound instead of going dong, you know, you get more of a wong. You know, it's, yeah. So everything is very ethereal. But it's neat. It's fun to play with. And the software, especially on Windows, but I guess on Mac too, looks like it's really easy to use. You just literally like download it, run it, and point it at an MP3.
Plug your thing in.
Yeah, so you can like fiddle with it immediately. You can have, you know, a half an hour of ambient music by throwing a random pop song into it. And
so did apparently a lot of that for a few days. In some sort of follow-up, Justin Bieber likes it. His record company won't sue the guy who did it. And the guy who did it's happy. And the other thing is the guy who did its Twitter page, which I just linked, hilariously has Sad Kinu made out of every follower. That is amazing. someone did this on Flickr. I mean, with the Metafilter profile page, they wrote, "I hate Flickr" across six pictures that showed up like this as a single picture.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
Like no, in that. Order and everything. Like, yeah, so there's... I guess there's...
Oh, 30, I'm getting it. That's pretty neat.
36 sad Keanus if you follow.
It's also... Right, it's Keanu, order. Matt.
Yeah, sorry.
I know you don't talk to that many people.
Such a dick. my favorites were like... Here's quick bam. This I don't know why I stored these as favorites, but the... what is this? Not Nick Cage's everyone. Robert Downey Jr. in old 40s. Pop pinup art. It's just
That one that was like sunsets and pie, and what was that other one?
Like Spock and rainbows, sunsets and unicorns and whatever. Yeah,
Nick Cage is everyone. Oh right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's really more like Nick Cage is everyone than like that, but it's the same sort of feel of a blog where it's like
wacky.
Very it's like funny. Here's a very specific idea. Let's just run with it.
This is the one you picked as opposed to the crazy.
Right. I thought that one was hilarious too. Here we go. Journey Through the Canyons, probably like the amazing. It's just like HD national park porn, like just flying through canyons in boats. In
oh god, the Satriani argument.
Oh right, that's
oh,
yeah.
God.
Wasn't that in a completely different thread?
Oh no, yeah, like that wasn't this.
Different thread.
Yeah,
shut up about else. That.
Yeah, oh, I thought we were talking about the canyon fly through thing. Sorry.
Click the link.
This is similar, but not. It's a. I just hiked through a lot of these canyons, and it was awesome. And
oh, time-lapse on a fly-through, I see.
Features no Satriani. Yeah, lots of like clouds flying by.
Was this thread before or after the Satriani thread?
It might have been before.
If there's not a bunch of annoying Satriani comments, it was probably
there
before.
There are.
Then, yeah. And the Mila's Daydreams. When you have like artistic photographer, artist-type moms... They're bored at home for hours a day while their child sleeps. What do they do? But they are. It's just hilarious.
Better than that crazy Anne Geddes nonsense.
Yeah, she makes like I guess like dioramas out of her sleeping baby that are like so sweet and funny. And there's no fight over whether or not this is evil.
Right. It's not borderline porn or something. Look, here's a baby eaten by an octopus.
Right. It's just everything is just cute and everything's loving and hilarious. And she like
adorable.
Makes things out of. Blake, yeah, it's just awesome. Like, she should probably, I guess, end up with a book out of this because they're just.
No, this is totally coffee table stuff.
A friend of mine's wife just had a baby and she's an amazing photographer. And it's like, she now has basically 2 or 3 hours a day while the baby's asleep to take photos. And the photos are amazing. And I'm like, so stoked that, like, she's doing creative stuff. It's similar, not as good as this, but oh my God, the bookworm one. Holy crap. She put glasses on the baby. Good God. Anyway, yeah, pure joy. Fun stuff. And I think that's all my quick favorites.
Over to Ask Metafilter?
Do it.
After this.
Oh.
For free on weblogs.com. 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 Meetup.com. Meetup-wise, by far the harder. What is happening there? But what can I do for people? Writing,
And we're back.
Sweet.
Ask Metafilter really, continues to just bring me joy all the time.
Sweet.
My favorite one, and again, you know, I keep bringing up the ones that I sidebar, so, you know, apologies if you've seen this, but I found a list in my house, and I have no idea what these things have to do with each other. Oh, this is also Twirly Pen. And please tell me what this crazy list is. And,
oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, and I was like, I have no idea. And basically somebody says, oh, I think that's a combination of 60s songs. And then somebody mentions that, and then somebody's like, actually, here's all the songs that this was a list of in your weird sort of way.
That's the awesomest puzzle ever. Like, here's a weird found list.
Right. And it's my own found list, but my own lack of, memory is inhibiting my ability to handle this.
And there's no theme. Like, it's really hard to pull 60 songs out of that list when you look at it. That's awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was great. Other things that are very favorited, of course, are our sort of how do I become a better person social stuff, including, how do I become one of those people that helps people, smile? It's a variation on the how to be charming, how to talk to anybody, how to whatever, but with 143 favorites.
I marked as a favorite to come back to later. I never did. What was the gist of the good advice? Because I've heard advice.
Well, it's like eye contact, listening, being able to talk about stuff that they're accessible to everybody. Yeah. And there was also a kind of also how do I make sure I'm not flirting with people, which is kind of a useful sub thread to the whole thing.
I've heard cheesy, like, how to work a room advice that's like you're supposed to, like, enter a room and go shake hands with everybody and look them in the eyes and say hello and then start, like, waste 30 seconds with everybody, which I thought was weird and seems forced.
Well, and you'd know, I would think, if somebody were doing that.
Yeah. And I thought this was also an impossible question. How do I become one of those people that makes everyone feel great after they talk to them? It's not just how do I talk to people. I also want to be awesome. Like, that's first step one, be born as George Clooney.
But I know people like that, though, where, like, they're just really good at being kind of into whatever you're into, but not in kind of a sycophantic or fakey way. And so after you walk away from them, you feel better about your own ideas,
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I think that stuff always circles back to, like, confidence or charisma that you can't really teach.
Exactly.
Have or they don't. I don't know. Yeah. That's pretty cool. This is the TV show version of the Kevin Kelly post, which is like, what are a bunch of awesome TV series I can learn something from, like, from any time? And I loved your first comment, Jessamine, James Burke.
Anyone who hasn't seen James Burke's Connections and thinks they won't like it because it's a million years old is wrong.
There
the
was
original
series...
Connections, not Connection Series 2.
Even that was pretty good, even though it was a little...
It was better than a lot of what we get for TV around here,
But Connections, I think the original was like late 70s, early 80s, and then...
And looks it.
Yeah, and the Connections 2 was like the 90s. But this is like before the web existed. It's like live Wikipedia. Like,
exactly. So awesome.
It feels like what hypertext feels like on the web as a movie.
Thing goes into this other thing, and that combined that... People
it was
learning
in Hawaii.
How to make a steam engine.
Yeah.
Actually. Yeah. Right.
Had to
Became
make.
Became the people who made the ATM.
Yeah. And then he's standing in different parts of the world as he says this. And it's amazing. And so this is great for tons of stuff to throw in the old video queue and watch someday.
I'm really surprised. Wikipedia has actually got a really good list of the episodes. And I'm really surprised people haven't gotten even more sort of thoroughly into... you know, outlining the.
Oh, yeah. I think it was too ahead of its time. Like, I saw it in the mid-90s or late 90s when the web was still new, and it blew my mind.
Right. But yeah. I watched it in the mid-90s, too.
I haven't, like, heard a mention of it in the last 10 years, really. It's just, you know, people. I think it was too early. It was too awesome and early.
Right. What's this you're linking to?
I liked just this little question from Unsane, who has been very active over on music lately, too.
Did we talk about him last month, too? Didn't he have like the awesome jump thing to jump his kids jump into the bike jumping?
I don't remember.
What?
It's been a whole month. Anyway, he's helped me and my sons learn to play the drums. So he's got a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old, and they got some drums, and they're gonna learn to play some drums. So it's just a nice little thread with the drumming advice for people who might be interested about sort of learning drums. It's a decent little starting point. And as someone who's learning the drums, I find these things exciting.
Don't you play the drums?
I do. And I'm getting decent. I've been playing about a year, and I'm feeling pretty comfortable with it. But I've got a whole lot of work to do as well.
See, I remember you doing the like snare drum roll up for when we did the.
And so
I'm like, Josh, he plays the drums.
Well, the drum kit was like brand new at the time. I had like just gotten it.
I think I've told my drum story, which was like a friend started playing drums in first year of college, and like he was way into it for about 6 months, so he was starting to get decent at it. Like decent from zero. And I like the first time I sat down, I'm like, okay, I've watched 10 years of MTV. This cannot be hard. It's pretty simple. I can keep a beat. And then I started playing and I realized drums are the most crazy, confused, like insane instrument. I've played a violin before successfully. And oh my God, drums are so hard compared to, I couldn't move my legs independently with my hands. And it was so much worse than I ever imagined. I just thought it would sound like basic drumming from the first time I tried, but it was terrible.
Yep.
And I have a lot more respect for drummers than I ever thought I would.
That's how it tends to go, actually, that whole, yeah.
You know,
first Goatsy thing? I would love to make a video version of that that's first drumming. Just like sit people down at a drum set who haven't drummed before.
Chunk.
Yeah, just make them, give them 5 minutes to do the best they can. And then just like make a blog. That'd be pretty sweet, actually.
I think it's from like the Muppets having Animal be the drummer. You always think the dumb guy is the drummer and it must be easy. I think there's like a stereotype. And when really, it's the bass player who's the dummy in any band, as everyone knows who's ever known a band.
Shut up.
Kidding. All right. Next.
All right. One more that I have, maybe two. This was sort of a recent one that I enjoyed, which is just somebody who's like kind of a new manager and is trying to figure out how to manage and doesn't really know much about managing, but has at least one employee who could use management. Yeah. And there's just a lot of really good advice that's kind of friendly, non-stupid book management advice.
I've never really had a manager that... I've only had one job where I had a manager, and the manager was, well, two jobs. They were terrible in both cases.
I have been managed poorly. I have been managed well.
I don't know what a good management is like. I had one manager where they stole all my ideas and presented them every week at our weekly meetings as their own, which drove me bananas.
You should type into the Skype chat who that was. I've mostly had people who are like, you have to do this. And I'd be like, well, I'm not gonna. And then we just like stare at each other. You know, they'd be like, we want you to do this. And I was like, I don't think that's part of my job. And they'd be like, yes, it is. But like, what are they going to do? Fire you? I'm in the union. They wanted me to do like, you know, stupid shit that wasn't part of outreach just because nobody else wanted to do it. But I mean, it's tough, right? Because at some point, part of what you need to do when you manage is get people to do some of the stupid shit either you don't want to do or that you think needs to happen. Like, it's not a let's talk about your job. It's a this is your job situation. And, you know, management's really changed from sort of the command and control days of 20 or 30 years ago to the sort of more consensus-based, you know, what's the overall plan kind of thing.
I always think of a manager, I mean, I'm just thinking of like computer software teams. The manager is the guy who's not, or guy or woman who's not coding and is like driving the ship and trying to whip the slaves into like, hey, well, let's but get they some also lines have of code.
They also have to kind of deal with the different parts of it, you know, yeah. that they have to deal with the marketing team and they deal with the programmers and they deal with the deadline and they deal with, you know, the QA people. So part of it is that they have lots of different things to balance. Whereas if you're the coder, what you're just supposed to do is doing the coding. Like that's the nominal idea, even though it certainly doesn't always work that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're the people that don't code. I was surprised. Like, you know, I used to have a ton of friends that worked at Microsoft, and I was really, really surprised that most of them weren't programmers. They were managers, you know, like software development project managers.
If you have any people skills, they float you right out of the programming really quick and put you above the programmers. That's what I've seen with friends. I like this. This is, man, I guess it's just summer. Everything's in the to-read pile, to-watch pile. To do later pile, but
you're probably spending a lot of time outside. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, and then everything feels like there's not much going on, so you have all this downtime. There's nothing on TV all summer. There's nothing. I don't know. I guess there is movies to watch, but yeah.
I've been watching Sherlock Holmes.
But that's like it's over after 4.5 hours of bliss.
That's a lot of time. You could watch Jason Scott's 7-hour BBS documentary.
Oh, mine's in the mail.
No, that's Get Lamp. That's the
yeah, my Get Lamp. Order is in the mail. I just
oh cool. I theoretically am going to get one because I donated to his Kickstarter campaign, but he's a little behind.
I donated to the wrong campaign, or I didn't donate at a high enough level, so I'd end up having to order it.
That's it's okay because the people that donated at the high level didn't get any of the stuff they were supposed to get. At least not yet.
Well, he emailed me and said he'd send me a low number gold coin, which I didn't care, you know, what my number is, but apparently that's cool. So yeah,
that's nice.
It's nice. So this book thread of things to read that are like what like mind-blowing books completely change your perceptions of a commonly held, you know, thing. And they use Sex at Dawn, which is like a book Dan Savage is pushing hard for the last few months, which is like saying that we ever since the advent of agriculture, society changed in a way for the bad, that sex completely... It's completely different these days, and not it's pretty much unnatural, the entire world we've set up for how humans behave in the bedroom is completely like backwards, and he points a lot at like chimpanzees and bonobos and how they're completely different in
bonobos.
I do not have to converse with people and use these
I may be wrong about that one. I'm just all right.
Yeah, so there's lots of like books that you know, it's a nice pile of books to blow your mind. That look pretty cool.
All right.
Oh yeah, they even link to Jared Diamond. He calls agriculture the worst mistake in the history of the human race.
Oh, I've got this Origin of Consciousness book, and I haven't ever cracked it. It would maybe that would be good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and here's the last thing I really liked from Ask Metafilter from my female long hair perspective, though, Josh, this may be helpful for you.
Oh, yes.
Everyday styles for long, thick hair.
Styles.
Shut up!
You know, I have two styles. Sometimes I pull it back, and sometimes I don't.
No, sometimes you tuck it over the ears and flip it down. Sometimes it's just down. I notice it's a little longer in the front than it is, like, behind the front. You have style. You're just pretending you don't have style.
I can't help but have de facto styles, but I put literally zero effort into it 99% of the time. So,
well,
I let the hairs fall where they will.
I feel like I need
to sometimes put slightly more than zero effort into my hair because sometimes I have to go clean up and talk to people.
Yeah, you with your public speaking. You know. That's your mistake right there.
Never leave the house. That's
and I have a leave the house job in addition to this job. Yeah. And I've got nice hair, so I should do something nice with it. But I'm not very creative. So I see people with cool hair and I'm like, how do they do that? And sometimes it's because they have a cool haircut. But sometimes it's just because they know how to do the sock bun, as an example. And I don't. And so I enjoyed this thread because I could learn how to do a couple fairly simple things that make my hair look slightly more like there's a shit ton of YouTube videos about how to take your hair and make it do the thing and you can just kind of watch it. Yeah. And so I just thought it was great because it gave me a place to go for more advice on what to do with my long, thick hair for cheap. Yeah. It doesn't involve like a fucking $100 haircut and $80 worth of hair product.
Yeah. Oh, no, I like that. I don't mean to be dismissive. I don't imagine myself to be a paragon of long haired people. I consider myself a very lazy person whose hair happens to be long.
Those sock buns are like Leia's. Those are awesome.
Well, and I didn't really know how to do them. I just saw people doing them and assumed they were really complicated, and they're actually only medium complicated. Mm. The problem is you've got to watch a whole bunch of like young women kind of fucking around in their apartments with their hair, and like some of the people are really good at how to do your hair videos, and some of the people really aren't. And so you have to kind of wade through a whole bunch of miscellany to get to the good stuff.
Get to the working overtime part. Okay. I think we're all done. Eh? Anything
I think
else?
So. No, sweet. I think that's about it.
This sweet. Was great. It was a great a great bunch of stuff on Metafilter, I think. Yeah. I was happy about it.
Yeah.